ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, August 29th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, how are you doing today, Dwayne?
I'm doing well. I'm doing very well indeed. I'm trying to decide whether I'm terrified or pumped up for the Nations League games next week. It'll be nice to watch Canada at home, but God, I hate the international break, and I especially hate the September international break, but we have one more weekend before we have to deal with that.
International break. It's been a while, eh? It's been a few weeks. It's been a few weeks since we had that.
Since March, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a few months. International break is coming next week, and we'll talk about the Canadian men's national team roster for the CONCACAF Nations League game versus Cuba in the Cayman Islands. We'll look at the roster later on. Also, the United States released their rosters for their upcoming friendly in the international break. But last night, Dwayne, there was a game in Major League Soccer. I was at the game in Montreal. Montreal 2, Vancouver 1. The second Canadian derby, I would say. The second-rate Canadian derby. But, you know, it was a fun game. Montreal got the victory 2-1. It could have been very different. Two penalties, even though the books will not say two penalties saved by Evan Bush. Practically speaking, Evan Bush stopped two penalties last night. And the Montreal Impact were able to win, Dwayne. And it's a character win, I would say. It's a type of win that we'll get all the cliches out of the way. Momentum swung from one side to the other with the saved penalty. And then Montreal were able to gain some confidence, get the equalizer, and eventually get the go-ahead goal. Maxi Arruti played a great game. Boyan is finding his feet in Montreal slowly, and he'll be fascinating to watch. A good game. A rainy game, rainy night, but great game for Montreal, and a desperately needed win. If it wasn't for a win last night, Dwayne, I was going to say no playoffs for the Impact. They are still alive in my mind now.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's still precarious. They're tied on points with TFC. Well, you know, technically at the tiebreaker with one more win, but two more games played. So that's significant when you think about it that way. And less games played, although they are at home, and they needed to get that win. Absolutely. I was calling this the Canadian meh Classico last night. It's maybe it was a little bit unfair to the game. In general, as you say, it did have some drama to it. But look, for the Whitecaps, I think that, you know, we'll touch on them real quickly because this is more about the Impact right now, and that's not just because of where we are. It's just reality. The Whitecaps are playing at the string, whereas Montreal is playing for something. But the Whitecaps, I think, considering how poorly they played in San Jose, this is a bit of a better effort for them. You know, of course, we'll see how they do in their next game as they try and fly back home. There's some story there. They're stuck at the airport again. I'm having trouble understanding that. There's 12 direct flights from Toronto to Vancouver a day. Like, how are how?
We're not in Toronto. We're in Montreal.
I know, but there's 50 direct flights from Montreal to Toronto. So just get one of those and then go. But anyway.
You would think, according to a few sources and Whitecaps players on social media, their flight back to Vancouver was canceled last night. And they're playing NYCFC, which is already in Vancouver, getting ready for that game in the weekend. And it is what it is. It's the same for everyone. For some reason, this year, we've seen it happen maybe more than ever because airlines are quick to cancel flights now because it's expensive. People losing money. And they're like, yeah, okay, we need to cancel flights. So for Major League Soccer, it did happen a lot this year.
I was going to say, I think it's also not maybe necessarily happening more often so much as we're hearing about it more often because clearly the Players Association have a big, big old sliver in their paw over this particular issue, which is going to be the hill that they clearly are going to die on in the CBA negotiations.
But, which I'm kind of fine with. I'm not going to lie to you, though. If there's something like that could better the league itself and the recovery of players, and that might make an impact on the entertainment we see on the pitch, could be chartered flights.
No, for sure. I mean, it's MICKEY that they're flying commercial at all. You know, I'm not trying to make them prima donnas here. But at the same time, you know, even the CAN-PL doesn't have rules against their clubs using charter flights if they want to, right? It's not the case. I mean, they're probably not because they don't have the money. But yeah. Nonetheless, I think there are obviously clubs that can afford this. They're charging $200 million for an expansion fee. Okay. Give me a break. They can afford charter flights for their players, particularly in circumstances like this. Look, you know, you said it's the same for everyone. I will push back a tiny little bit on that. The West Coast teams probably are a little more screwed. They probably are a little more hard done by the travel rules.
That's right.
But, you know, in this particular case, it's probably similar for everyone in the West, the East Coast teams, because there are, you know, I mentioned there's 50 direct flights between Toronto and Montreal every day, and, you know, 15 between Vancouver. So those kind of routes are fine, but if you're flying a lot of weird routes, and Vancouver certainly would be, because there's not a lot of direct flights to eastern U.S. cities where there's a lot of MLS teams, yeah, they probably do have it a little harder. But, yeah, it's an unfortunate sort of thing that we've been talking a lot about it this year. But in terms of the game, Kevin, as you say, Montreal absolutely had to get that win. And they did, so they survive another day. I was, you know, getting the point total that I knew I could have told you what the tragic number would have been.
It was 13, right?
It would have been 13, yeah. 13 if they'd lost. So it remains at 16, and that's significant, a significant swing, that for sure.
One interesting aspect was Wilmer Cabrera's press conference after the game. I'm not going to play the entirety here because it's like 8 minutes, but I'll put it on the Patreon feed for subscribers. It was very interesting. His conversation with players saying, don't be afraid to go forward, take some risk, stop being this conservative. And I think that was what Rémy Gallant was having difficulty with, is getting away from that conservatism as a manager. When you coach in a league like the Premier League and like Ligue 1, and you have not necessarily the shadow of relegation, but when you have the realization that you need to defend more, you need to be more conservative. And I think that because of all I've experienced over the years, Rémy Gallant, it was difficult for him and his staff to let go that fear of, oh, we have to be conservative, we can't be blown away, and then you get blown out anyways. I think under Wilmer Cabrera, we might see players, well, he's open about it, he's like, I want him to take more risk, but we're seeing players maybe liberated a bit, just the way Tider was a lot more going forward last night. Because of Samuel Piet's return, it does give more leeway for Tider. Also, Wilmer Cabrera wants more risk being taken, and you can see this happening. And also, one thing that was interesting to me, Dwayne, is he mentioned that they need to shoot more. He mentioned to Maxi Urruti, who has only scored 2 goals before last night in the season this year so far, or third before last night, is fourth last night. He's saying, Maxi, I know you work hard. Your work rate is really high. You run, you press, you do a lot of stuff. Can you please shoot the ball in the first 45 minutes on target, please? Okay, thank you. That's what I want you to do. And he did. And it led to a goal. And it led to his goal after the second. And I think that's one thing that was interesting to me. The other thing, too, is when Wilmer Cabrera mentioned that Evan Bush, in the second half of the Montreal Impact versus Toronto game last Saturday in Toronto, they passed the ball 25 times back to Evan Bush in the second half. 25 times. And they were losing that game. How are you supposed to put pressure, and how are you supposed to put the other team under pressure when you're passing the ball to your goalkeeper 25 times in the second half? Wilmer Cabrera mentioned, I was embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by this. You should be embarrassed too. You pass it a few times, that's fine, but please pass the ball forward. I thought it was kind of refreshing to hear a coach talk like this. Of course, it's easy. Those were the complaints about Rémy Gallant's management of games or management of the team since last year. It was about the lack of risk-taking. It was about the lack of throwing the kitchen sink and going everyone forward, you know? I guess we're going to see that with Risky Wilmer.
I guess, yeah. Look, you know, I knew the saying I was going for last week is, can you put stripes on a leopard, is the phrase. You know, can the Impact be changed dramatically in what is now, what, 7 games left? Or is it 6 or 7? I'd have to look.
It's 5, right? In the league, I played the Canadian Championship two games, so seven games.
Yeah, so can you, you know, put Stripes on the Leopard in those six, seven games? So it is a question there. But, you know, I think in his particular case, he's also auditioning for the 2020 job. You know, whether or not he does enough to make the management, to make Kevin Gilmore and probably Joey too, let's be honest here, believe that he is changing that team and moving in the right direction, maybe even if the Impact fail to make the playoffs from this point, even if they struggle to get results, if they see enough change in sort of the way that they're playing, and there might even be a mandate to play a little more entertainingly, as you suggested there, then perhaps he might get a full year to try and implement that system. The Impact traditionally have been known as a counter team ever since I've been watching, and that's how the Impact have played. That's certainly how they've seen their most success is on the counter. And you know, are they going to change overnight into a team that can be more offensively minded, more attack minded? No, probably not. But they can be a little front foot. They can be a lot more direct. Direct has a nasty name, a bad name in the sport, right? Like you think Hoopball or
I agree
or
so
one,
much.
But,
no, I sorry. Go continue, and I'll jump in after.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, but it's as I say, there's no bad tactics. There's just bad execution. And if that's their skills, speed, and sort of the ability to counter their skills, then their ability to get in the front foot should be as well, Kevin.
Everyone was looking at Pep Guardiola and the tiki-taka and playing from the back and using your goalkeeper. It's all well and good, but you need the players to do that. You need your players to be talented enough to be able to pull it off. And there's only like five teams in the world who can pull that off correctly with the amount of skills that they have. No Major League Soccer is in that group of five teams, by the way. So you have to be pragmatic. And I guess we're going to... I guess this becomes a Rémy Gall conversation. But for me, that's where Rémy Gall was wrong, unfortunately. I don't know if in his personal life and in his other professional jobs that he had, if he was stubborn the way he has been with Major League Soccer. And when I mean that stubborn, not that he was stubborn and didn't want to listen to the league. What I'm saying is he was stubborn in his tactics and his mentality regarding the league of what is the threshold of what I need. I know football. I've seen other leagues and the level to be successful is here, the threshold of where the quality of players and have to play is a certain level. In Major League Soccer, it's different, and you have to adjust your mentality. You have to adjust tactically as well. Playing from the back don't make any sense, and sometimes you're better off pulling like an LAFC and winning 4-3 and then losing 1-0. So there is the aspect of maybe Rémy Gall and his staff never adjusted, not necessarily to the league, but adjusted to what this team needed to be successful and trying to bring in pieces or mold the pieces that he had into roles that they were not comfortable with instead of taking his players and playing in a way or using those players the way they'll be successful and not the other way around. Wilmer Cabrera's coming in with 9 games left, 7 now. Can't change a lot. The only thing he can say is like, guys, I'm going to put you guys in a position where you'll be able to get the most out of those 9 games. I'm going to put you into position. You're a striker. I'm not going to ask you to defend. You go, you score. You're Evan Bush. I'm going to stop asking you to have the ball 25 times and a half and start the attack. I'm just going to ask you to stop the ball. So it's kind of like the keep it simple, stupid situation. 9 games left. I don't disagree with that mentality. You have to... Always, things evolve, they ebb and flow, right? And after, I'll use an analogy here. And I'm wearing like a U.S. type of shirt because we're going to talk about the U.S. roster. And I'm sorry for making that type of analogy. But after one type of president, usually you get another type of president. After one type of boss, you get another boss. Example, if you have a very, we'll use the coach analogy, you have a very tactic-focused coach. The one who's going to take his place will be more of a player-focused coach, and then the one who's going to take his place will be back to tactic, right? You never replace the one you just fired with someone exactly the same. You go the opposite route. So I guess Wilmer Cabrera is more the player and the I'll motivate you guys, and you guys go on and do what you do best.
Well, yes. So absolutely. You know, I once in my past life dated a blonde person for a long time, and I can tell you that my ex-girlfriend after that was a brunette. for those very reasons that you're talking about, because sometimes you need to slice things up a little bit. But enough of my past dating life. That's of no one's interest, particularly the people involved in it. But yeah, look, it's a short period of time for the impact to move forward this year. And what we have seen Kribera in his past, he has been successful in single knockouts. And I think probably maybe the reason for that has been that sort of stupid simple approach. In a single knockout game, which of course MLS playoffs are of this year, if you're just going in with basics and trying to not complicate things, you can sometimes get success even against more talented opposition. We've even seen really talented teams in the past two playoffs in both Toronto and Atlanta kind of dumb it down in the playoffs because, you know, in Toronto's case in 2017, it was really just about getting it to the hot hand. In that case, it was Josie to try and break down a defense. Just at least we remind people they beat Columbus 1-0 in aggregate, right, on one goal that Josie broke in. And they just stayed solid and stayed simple for the rest of the way. Atlanta was the same thing last year, a very free-flowing team in the regular season, a team that was very entertaining to watch, became boring, absolutely boring to watch in the playoffs last year, and they grounded out and got the MLS Cup championship. So it's not a bad approach. The question with Montreal will simply be, A, whether they've left it too long, and they probably haven't because we've talked a lot about DC United falling pretty badly, TFC's inconsistencies, you know, do we really believe in New England? Just generally the mushiness of the East. If the Impact can win, can get 45 points. I think 45 is going to be your number from where they are. And where they at? 33 now?
30, they're at 37. Whatever. The Impact is tied on points with Toronto at 37. Let's look at the standings right now on our screens. 37 points for the Impact with 29 game played in the league. 5 left. Toronto 37 points, but 27 game played in the league. A difference of 2 games played for Toronto. Toronto's 8th right now because of the amount of wins. Montreal's got the win tiebreaker on DC, on New England, on Toronto, and on Orlando right now. But they do have 2 games less to play.
Precisely, yeah. So again, I having done the math, if you look at the way the games and how many times they play each other, about 45, 44, 45, 46, somewhere in there, that's your magic number to get in there. So as much as we talked about a tragic number a minute ago for the Impact in being 16 right now, I think you could look at a magic number, not an official one, but sort of a quasi-magic number of being 8. Are there 8 more points left in their standings, in their schedule? There's a question to ask yourself, because I think if they get 8 or 9 points in those games, they're probably going to be in.
Yep, that's going to be interesting to see. Before we continue and talk more about the Whitecaps side of the game last night, and there's a few talking points that I want to talk to you, but to make sure that we're all aware of what we're talking about, and as it's a hot day today, so you can hear the wildlife through my window, I guess, here's the Mark Dos Santos post-game interview from last night. It's about 5 minutes, but I think it's worth it because of the content, the comments as well, of Mark Dos Santos after this loss.
All right, Mark, a very bright start for the side this evening, but ultimately fall 2-1 to the Impact. What are your thoughts on the match?
Yeah, I don't agree with a good start. I agree that it was a good start, but then, you know, apart from the goals of Montreal, there was always a lot of a good control from our side, especially also in the second half. There's a big chance Michael has. He takes better his touches in front of the goal. There's another good header. There's one from Toss. You know, the response from the game against San Jose coming here, there was fluidity, there was possession, there was good personality in the team. I think that the key point in the game is that penalty shot situation that I totally disagree. It's a huge mistake. These calls are not called. There's no chance it's called back in Atlanta, in Seattle, in LA. No chance. But it's called right now because we still have, we don't have the full respect right now of officials, and that's going to change. But it shouldn't be called. It needs to be clear and obvious. There's to be called back and for the official to call back, it's ridiculous. Then that's a changing point in the moment of the game. And when that happens, we have to to try to come back. I think the heads of all the players were not down. They played overall a good second half. Tried to score, created. Then, of course, when we push so many bodies, there's the awareness and the danger of transition that Montreal is a team that it's a big part of their game. But overall, you know what? The only thing negative today is the result.
Do you feel positive about the first start for Ricketts and Chirinos there? They're very lively.
Yeah, but I don't like to talk about individual players. That's up to the media to evaluate and see. For me, the important is really to talk about the reaction of the team after a game that we played like in San Jose. And the reaction was that we lost so many balls against San Jose in possession. And today there was a reaction in 3 days of a much better possession game that we played.
Maybe just back on the penalty. Obviously, they called it encroachment on Ricketts. They called it encroachment on Bush as well. Do you feel that that's a situation where it's just applying the rule a little too...
It's for me, look, I'm being honest. For me, this is not called in other places. It's not. And right now, it's who we are. But it's not called in other places. I watch pretty much every MLS games. It's not. Second, I can't talk about VAR this year because it's been disastrous for us in many moments. And right now, I never speak about these moments, but I feel that at game 28 almost, if I don't defend my group, then I'm being a coach that never defends it. I have to defend them, and it was horrendous. If the game is changing, I fell in love with another game. This game is robotic. One day there's not going to be players on the field. I think PlayStation on TV, it's going to sell more than real game. It's becoming so robotic. It's incredible.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Laramie, Dwayne Rollins. This was Mark Dos Santos, head coach of the Vancouver Whitecaps. A couple things I want to talk to you about after this interview, Dwayne. Of course, I think you're not the only one who would like to fire VAR into the sun. I think you can add Mark Dos Santos to that club.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And what he's saying there is why. It takes common sense out of the game and makes it this pedantic exercise. And, oh, was the pinky half millimeter beyond the... No, Jesus, play the game. And I get there are still people that pull their head out of that. They're just not my personality. I do not understand why it is so necessary to be exact. Let the human eye decide whether things are offside, whether handball is handball. Anyway, we're getting into our conversation. But the robotic stuff, too, I think speaks to overcoaching in the game as well. And there are certain arguments to be made about that, whether or not it relates to last night's game or not. That's in the eye of the beholder, of course.
The other aspect of the Mark Dos Santos press conference I think is important to talk about is the mention that he said we don't have the respect of the ref, the officials, of the referee that he's talking about because of a few calls not going their way, a few calls maybe this year. VAR has nothing to do with that, unfortunately. But when I looked at the game last night and I look at Ismael Helfat, I'm probably not pronouncing his last name correctly, the referee of last night's game, I thought he did a pretty good job to try to keep this chippy game on the level. Things are actually well done last night. But for Mark Dos Santos, he was happy with the reaction of San Jose after a tough game in, Vancouver after a tough game in San Jose. But of course, it was that momentum, that call, that penalty that has to be retaken. Not only because Ricketts was offside, but more importantly because Evan Bush stepped off his line too early. So it's a combination of both. If it was just Ricketts being offside, Montreal would have had a free kick after that missed penalty or the block penalty. And if it was just Evan Bush, the penalty would have counted. So because it was a mix of both, they just retook the penalty. And it gave Montreal the opportunity to stay in the game. And Evan Bush with two big saves. Of course, it's easy... you can say that it's a bad call and VAR and all that. But if I'm Jordi Reyna, wasn't I just lucky that my coach decided to move the attention towards the official and not the fact that I hit two penalties and both were saved?
Yeah, look, I'm not going to say that scoring a penalty is easy for you or I. Although, you know, you give me 10 penalties and I probably score a pro goalie once, I'd take that bet. Some people might take that bet on me. But nonetheless, what I'm saying is that there is a certain amount of, if you hit the right spot, you're going to score. And a professional, more to the point, absolutely should be hitting those right spots more often than not. If you have two kicks in the can, one of them should go in. You should not be you should be at least at a 50% level, is what I'm saying. And for two of them to be saved is not good. And yes, it's right that the distraction there. An interesting sub-conversation on VAR, and I think that I believe this as well. A lot of people, I think, view VAR as an equalizer. I think it's actually going to be, when you see it play out over year after year after year, it's actually going to be more a greater advantage to the bigger teams, to the better teams, because it's going to eliminate little things like short point and things like that, which is positive to a point. But, you know, anyone who thinks it's some kind of equalizer is not really thinking it through. It's going to be quite the opposite. It's going to make it more difficult for the less talented teams to compete, yeah, because a lot of the dark arts that used to go on and used to be, you know, and some people think are still okay, will be gone.
Shirt pulling, stepping on toes, and we've seen those tactics before. Well, that's fascinating. Anyways, that's our review of Montreal and Vancouver. If you want to know more about Canadian soccer, if you want to hear Dwayne and I talk about the front office of the Montreal Impact and all the changes that happened recently this week, make sure you go to patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. For $2 a month, you'll get access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast for patrons only, where Dwayne and I dive deep into Canadian soccer in all its glory. Before we finish, Dwayne, speaking of Canadian soccer, Canada Soccer announced yesterday its roster for the upcoming game versus Cuba in the CONCACAF Nations League on September 10th. Cavallini, David, Kyle Lauren, when I say David, it's Jonathan David, Tesho Akindele, Alfonso Davies, Junior Olette Witherspoon, Russell Tybitt, Samuel Piet, Osorio, of course, Jonathan Osorio, Mark Anthony Kay, Will Johnson, Fraser, Derek Cornelius, Donnell Henry, who scored a home goal last night, Adam Strath, Steven Vittoria, Sam Adekugbe, Cordova, Larea, Rich Larea of Toronto FC, and Miller, Borjan, of course, Red Star Belgrade, Maxim Kripo of the Vancouver Whitecaps, and the first ever Canadian Premier League player named on the national team, Marco Carducci. Of course, no Balu, no Manricard James in this selection. Are you surprised by a few other maybe omissions or a few other selections?
Yeah, I'm not surprised Balu isn't playing, isn't called up. He's not playing. John Herdman's been pretty clear that he's only going to call players up that are playing. Scott Arfield not being there is a bit of a question. I think Hutchison had played in the Gold Cup, not in this lineup. I think that's not really that surprising.
For Arfield, here's the reason. Scott Arfield personally declined the call-up because he's been playing nonstop all summer with the Gold Cup. And straight after the Gold Cup, he's been playing a lot of games consecutively for Rangers and never had a time off. And the knocks are accumulating, and he had to decline it this time around. And also, it's Cuba.
Yeah. I mean, Rangers, if you don't know, played into Europa League qualifying, so there would have been very early on in that process. So
the week after the Gold Cup, Dwayne, I'm sorry to interrupt again, but the week after the Gold Cup, Rangers started their conquest in the Europa League qualifying, so he literally had no break.
Yeah, we understand that. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. And as I said, Peter's not surprising. They're only going to call him for tournaments. And they might call him up for one more testimonial. Or if they were to qualify for a tournament, maybe they'd, you know, let's say they make the CONCACAF Nations League final. If they win their group and they're playing in that the championship there, then they might call him up for something like that. But for sure, he's not really surprised. Richie Larea getting a call was surprising to me a little bit. I'm happy to see it, though. I see him firsthand in Toronto all the time. I think he's been a wonderful surprise this year in terms of his ability to create on the wing, to create in the wing-back position. It's something that's sorely needed, as we saw in the Gold Cup, an upgrade there. So I'm glad to see that he's getting a look. It proves that if you're playing to play well, you'll get a look. You know, only one CANPL player on this roster. You could make an argument for a couple others, I suspect. But at the same time, I think it is really early. in the league's development to expect more than a single call. Yeah. The fact that Carducci was included does say that he's not going to ignore the Canadian Premier League altogether, though. And for a backup keeper, for a third keeper especially,
I was gonna say.
This is the perfect opportunity for that. And I hope we see more of it. And I think we will see, as I've said many times before, I think that the real big marker for CAMPL and international play will come in the Olympic qualifying in October.
Tristan,
under 23 team, so you should have quite a few Canadian Premier League players on that, and it would be the first real example of what it will do.
How old is Tristan Borges if he's under 23?
He's 20.
He better be with the Canadian men's national team under 23.
Darren Campbell. He's on the U23 side as well. There
exactly.
you go, and they'll just be coming off the end of their season, so they'll be in game shape.
And not to belabor, but I'm not surprised at all that Carducci is the first player from the Canadian Premier League that is chosen to called up, because calling a backup goalkeeper is a bit easier and a bit less risky than calling a striker. So I believe it's going to be a defender. It's going to be the goalkeeper, Carducci, and eventually it'll be a striker. And eventually, into the most important position of the field, defensive midfielder, they'll take a little longer before we see a 6th or a 10 coming from the Canadian Premier League. But for sure, a goalkeeper, it's a good way to start. Now, we've talked about the Canadian men's national team. We'll quickly talk about the American, the U.S. men's national team, heading into a friendly. Here's the forwards for this team: Corey Baird of Real Salt Lake, Tyler Boyd, Jordan Morris, Christian Pulisic, Josh Sargent, and Giassi Sardes. We also have midfielders Sebastian Legette, Weston McKennie, Alfredo Morales, Paxton Pomykal, the young great player for Dallas, Christian Roldan, Will Trapp, Jackson Yuel, Jesse Gonzalez, Brad Guzan, Sean Johnson, and Zach Steffen will be the goalkeepers and the defenders for this friendly. John Brooks, Reggie Cannon, Serginio Dest, Nick Lima, Aaron Long, I'm stuck in New York, Long, Daniel Ream, Miles Robinson, and Walker Zimmerman. A younger U.S. men's national team also, because of Toronto FC's playoff race, they were able to not include Bradley at the demand of Toronto FC. So here's the roster for the friendly for the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah, they play September 6th against Mexico in New Jersey, and September 10th in St. Louis against Uruguay. So a couple big matchups, but friendlies nonetheless. So, you know, and you said the demand of TFC. It was the request of TFC. The U.S. men's national team had every right to call them up, and they could have, and they have in the past. And I wouldn't call it controversy. There are a few people with their feathers ruffled on the usual places about the fact that Toronto got quote-unquote special treatment by asking for Bradley and Altidore to be not included in this roster. What I would say to those people is that they asked for them to not be included. Toronto FC, if you look at the history of them being open to Bradley and Altidore getting call-ups to the January camp, which is not required for the teams to release. They have consistently done that to provide them with a favor this time because of the schedule and because of the importance of the games, and the U.S. men's national team has obliged. And that is common around the world in every nation, every league. So there is no favors going on. There's nothing above and beyond going on, is what I'm trying to say. And if you have an issue with that, talk to your own club about whether they should be asking as well.
Exactly.
That's what it comes down to.
Doesn't mean they'll say yes, but you don't have nothing. You have nothing to lose by asking.
Well, and look, the reason the U.S. said yes is because Toronto has said yes so many times to request, both on the youth team with the players that are in their academy for youth call-ups in the U.S., which you're not at all obligated to give them up for, and for your under-23 call-ups in the past as well. They went back to Marisa Du, if you go way, way back. Like, I mean, Toronto FC has always been, you know, much to the chin of some people in the past asked for something in the U.S. because Toronto has been a good partner to them over the years, has said, okay. And that's just how international football works. If you're new to this, you don't know. That's how it works. So, they needed it, too. Toronto absolutely needed that. They would have been in a hell of a lot more trouble. We would have been having different conversations about TFC and must wins and stuff like that. Like the game this weekend, if you're looking at two games without those guys in an international break, like they absolutely need 3 points against New England this weekend, if that's the case. They still could kind of use it, but they're not. It's not as desperate now.
It's not just how sports works. I guess it's how life works. You scratch my back, and I scratch yours.
Precisely. Oh, now my back is scratchy. Itchy. Someone scratch my back. So
find a corner of a wall. The best way to do.
I do that.
On that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN Live, Monday to Friday page, Soccer Today SPN. We are now on Spotify. You can say, okay, Google, play Soccer Today. It's playing soccer today. Okay, Google, stop. Perfect. It's working. Yeah, you can say, okay, blah, blah, blah. You can play soccer today. Or you can find the Five Rings Podcast, SPN, and the Two Solitude Soccer Podcast, and my friend show, Sur la Transversale, on Spotify as well. Thank you to everyone for making this work. And until tomorrow, as always, for our weekend preview and to celebrate Friday, we do wish you a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
Spotify,